yet another really cool mech show. I have a really cool panel this week, but before, I have a message from Ewan. He asked me to relay that because a couple of people asked like whether he was doing okay, whether he's gone AWOL, anything like that. So he wanted me to let you know like he's doing absolutely fine. I mean, if you're in the Slack room, you know, like he's been posting there and everything. He just had some family stuff to go through, and he is really looking forward to being back. Potentially next week, we'll see. It just depends on like how long all this family stuff continues. But he will be back, absolutely. And yeah, he's absolutely doing good. Like, just not feeling the shows right now, which is totally understandable if you know what he's going through right now. And with that, yeah, we have a really cool panel today. One is still missing. That's the ever late Doc Rock. But let us start off top left. We have Mr. Brett Terpstra. How are you doing?
I'm good. How are you?
Doing good. Doing good. You're busy developing your next app.
So many apps at once.
So many apps at once. Okay. Really excited. I'm definitely excited for all of them, like no matter what they are. Like you could probably release anything, like a fart.
Don't
app.
Tell anyone. I'm going to try to talk Fletcher. Like our release date for NB Ultra, which is the big one everyone's waiting for, is at least a month out right now due to availability. But I'm going to try to talk Fletcher into going full public with the beta so everyone can start trying it out.
Yeah,
to prove to everyone that we've been working on it
for like years.
Well, I mean, if you count the time I spent on the Bitwriter, which was a different project, yeah, this has been going on for almost a decade.
Wow.
But we're within a month now, so.
Yeah, and I mean, a month is actually going to be like, that's going to turn out pretty well. Like that's around the time when all the like iOS and macOS releases are going to happen. Well, we don't know, but we're guessing. So yeah, perfect timing, I would say.
I hope so.
I hope so too. Next to him, we have Chuck. How are you doing?
I'm doing great, Patrice. Everybody looks good. Everybody seems to be healthy, and Jeff is drinking tea. I mean, what could be better?
I mean, you're healthy too. You just came back from a walk, apparently.
No, I've been trying to make sure I get out and away from the desk at least for a couple mile walk each day, actually more like 3 miles. And we've had just vicious sunshine here. So I've got this, I look kind of red in the screen, and it's because, you know, you get sunburn.
It's just sun.
So that's it. But in all this, all the walking has been socially distanced and healthy and, you know, so. No, trying to avoid any complications here.
Yeah, I mean, there's definitely, I think there's nothing better than like to take a break, go for a walk, like get away from your desk for a little while, come back. It just recharges your batteries, really.
Yeah, and it gives me a chance to catch up on a couple podcasts too, since I don't have commute time right now. It's great to do that because you get to concentrate a little more on what's being said. So you got to make some efficient use of the time.
So true. Sometimes I go out just because I want to listen to podcasts. Like, I mean, sure, I could do that at home, but like there are so many other distractions. So sometimes like, I should go for a walk.
Yeah, exactly. And you're getting, you know, getting some exercise and that's really important right now, especially as I won't speak for everybody else, but I know I still am on some version of lockdown. I mean, things have reopened here to some degree, but it's been really interesting to see all the clamoring for things to reopen. And then you go to the places that have reopened, and I'm not going to say they're vacant, but they, you know, they don't have a lot of patrons. And it's like, well, okay, I don't understand, you know, but if it should be reopened, then reopen. If locked down, but it's almost like people, they just don't like being told they can't.
That's true.
You know, it's a psychological thing. Drives you crazy.
Yeah, it's absolutely like that's what I'm seeing. Like it's to different degrees in different countries, but yeah, like people just don't like being told what to do, like that they can't do something. And last but by no means least, we have Jeff. as every week. Hi, how's Boulder? I'm always looking forward to the Boulder segment. Like, what's new?
What's new is apparently the raccoons think this is their town now.
Wow.
And so watch out if you're around any dumpsters. If you're throwing stuff away in dumpsters, odds are you're going to piss off at least one raccoon who thinks that is his home.
So after mountain lions, bears, moose, now you got raccoons.
Yeah, the raccoons have always kind of been a thing, but they've decided to get kind of ballsy on us.
Wow.
Have you ever felt a raccoon's paws?
Yes.
They're like human hands.
Ooh.
They're so soft.
It's not what you expect. It created this cognitive dissonance for me. And
we rescued
you rescued one?
We rescued a blind one that saw by, like, it would, like, touch your face like a blind person would, and it would, like, recognize us by, like, patting our face, and it was amazing. I love raccoons.
Wow. They're dangerously smart animals.
Yeah.
Yeah. My friends that have chickens in town, because you can have chickens in Boulder, because, you know, basically we live in a wildlife reserve.
Yep.
They have learned that you can't use keyed padlocks to protect your chicken coops because the raccoons will pick the locks.
What?
So, yes.
Wow.
That they can get their little nail claw things into the key slot and work it, and they can actually pick locks.
That is crazy.
So you have to use combo locks.
That is,
but since they can't read, they don't have to be, you know, like high end combo locks. So, you just get the cheapy travel luggage combo locks that do like three digits, because a raccoon's not going to figure that one out.
And if they do, they deserve it.
Yeah.
Yeah. At that point, you know, the chicken's theirs.
Yeah, I mean, the fact that they can pick locks at all is hella impressive.
Like, yeah, and also really kind of scary.
Yes. Like, I mean, at some point you might wake up in the morning and there's like a raccoon in your house or next to your bed.
Yeah, I'm expecting to see like two or three at the foot of my bed, and one of them has like a bat and he's just kind of smacking it into the palm of his hand. They'll let me know.
That is crazy.
Jeff, I hope I'm on the show the day that you decide to talk about the Yeti invasion of Boulder.
You know, excuse me, when that one's coming, I'll be sure and send you a message so that you know to show up.
Thank you, because I want to hear that one.
Yeah, I'll let you know.
That is insane. We've had a review on iTunes that I wanted to like briefly
should
mention.
I just apologize up front then?
Well, no, you didn't write it. It was someone from the UK.
No, I mean, I'm assuming it's complaining about
me. Oh no, it was good. Like, someone was very concerned because we hadn't posted shows in a while, like since the 29th of June, I think. No, actually, since the 5th of June or something, and it was the 2nd. And someone was very concerned whether we were okay, whether there were any shows, anything like that. So I wanted to say thank you. We just posted like basically all of them within 1 week. There was just a backlog of shows since I hadn't pushed them to Ewan, like so that he could edit them. Like I uploaded them and then forgot about them. And yeah, he did that this week. So all the shows are out. I think he posted also last week's show already. Or if not, he is gonna. So thank you for the concern. Like, really appreciate it. Hope you can now upgrade your rating to 5 stars since we posted everything again. But yeah, it was just me. I just forgot about it. Like, we recorded I don't know how many shows and then didn't publish them. So now they're out. So this week in Apple, what's been happening? There've been like honestly not too much. The first one is unfortunately not a good story. Facebook is crashing apps again. They have like there's a Facebook SDK as far as I remember, And it has been in the news in the past because there was some issue with it. Like, I think Facebook pushed out some change or did some change and it just crashed everything and froze everything. And that is happening again. Apps like Spotify, SoundCloud, Waze, and many, many more are crashing as of this morning. And like, nobody knows why and nobody knows how to fix it. So yeah, typical Facebook thing. I think what this is teaching you is maybe don't rely on Facebook's SDK.
That's the major problem, is because Facebook makes it so easy to put their SDK into your app, mm-hmm. and rely on it for logins, rely on it for all of the things that it provides. Not only is it mean they have like privacy access to all kinds of apps, but yeah, if something goes wrong, you should never rely on SDKs in general. Developers bane.
Yeah, I mean, anything you introduce, any SDK you add to your code is a potential thing that could break. I mean, sure, you can't write everything. You have to rely on some things. But you have to be very, very careful what you rely on. And especially,
but don't have to rely on other people's services.
Yeah,
that's true. If you can avoid relying on someone else's service to do something that you could if you took the time to do yourself, you should.
Yeah, no, that is absolutely true. Don't rely on Facebook login and all of that for your app. Like, have alternatives and make sure like everything still works, even if that service is completely down and broken. Especially with Facebook, since this is definitely not the first time.
This may be obvious, but does anybody actually use login with Facebook?
No.
I don't know about normal people. Yeah. That's the question. Like, normal people, I think there might be some people who do that.
I think a lot of people do because they see it as a convenience thing, mm-hmm. and they're using Facebook all the time anyhow. So why not log in with Facebook? And I don't want to log in with anyone's service. I want to set up my own login information that's unique for each site. Maybe I'm just old school that way, but I don't want to use Google to log in. I don't want to use Facebook to log in.
How do you feel about Apple's login?
I have tried to use it to see how it works, and every single time I get a failure with it. It says it's not set up.
Yay.
And it works for me, and they're adding that web API for authentication, so you can start using Touch ID and Face ID on websites that add support, which I'm also pretty excited about.
Me too.
Yeah, now see, Apple has the one single login service that I'm inclined to trust because Apple has worked very hard to earn my trust. And if I could actually get the Apple login to work, I would love to try it.
Mm-hmm. The hardest part about the Apple service is that, okay, for my Creative Cloud, right, I have it set up where I try to use my own email, my own password whenever possible, right? And there are occasions where you get apps that force you to sign in with Facebook, and I try to go in as soon as I'm done with that and change it to my own password, right? But the Apple one, for instance, on Creative Cloud, it won't let me switch it. So they added it last year when the service came out, but I have no way to go in and switch it. But I can't normally delete your account, put it back, but it's a subscription that I've had since Creative Cloud day one. So I can't necessarily do that without losing my subscription or my credits for Adobe Stock.
Yeah, and with iOS 14, Apple is actually allowing upgrades to sign in with Apple. So if Adobe implemented that, I mean, it's up to them.
Will fix that coming soon. I'm cool with that. I'll wait. Because, I like the sign in with Apple just because the weird email address thing, that it throws out there.
Yeah, exactly. Like, I prefer that too. I mean, just like Brett said, I mean, you have to still balance that and like decide, are you going to rely on sign in with Apple for your service? Like, is that a good idea?
And if I was going to trust anybody, it would be Apple. And I have to admit that what Brett's saying about Face ID or Touch ID on certain websites, I would sign up for that in a second. I mean, because that would be so convenient. But there's some, I mean, like bank websites and all, I still want to go direct. Yeah, maybe I'm like Jeff and a little old school. But
here's the thing is with the Apple authentication API, as long as you're using Safari, because it's on devices that have a secure enclave, it's actually better than two-factor authentication, and it doesn't have the hassle of two-factor authentication. It removes that extra layer by adding a layer that you don't have to interface with.
Yeah.
Because it's hardware oriented.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So it would be the okay. So I guess for people who are on paranoid ilk, and I didn't used to be, but I have definitely had my PayPal account screwed with on more than one occasion. I would love to have something like a YubiKey or something of that nature. And then right when I thought about buying a YubiKey was when Apple Connect with Apple came out. And I was like, oh, this is a YubiKey without having to buy a third-party thing. Because even a YubiKey, I don't know them. I didn't used to work for them.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Intel has shared the Thunderbolt 4 specs this week, which we're going to have a follow-up story about that in a second. But it's basically Thunderbolt 3. The only difference is that they have upgraded the minimum specs that the hardware has to support, like bandwidth-wise and, like RAM, how much RAM you have to have and all of that. The difference, for example, is it supports, or it has to support at minimum 2 4K displays or 1 8K display. And I think previously it was a minimum was 1 8K display. So basically, as I said, it's Thunderbolt 3 with like increased minimums. The maximum speeds, like 40 gigabits per second, I think 100 watts for like power supply, all of that, that is still the same. Like the maximum specs are still better than USB, like even USB 4, and still the same. Any thoughts on that?
Cool.
It's hard to really say anything about it. I mean, Thunderbolt 3 is cool. It works.
I'm always a fan of new protocols, new hardware. I hate buying dongles and replacing all of my existing ports and everything.
Mm-hmm.
But I like forward progress. So it's the standard march of progress, I guess.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. I think
one of the funniest parts about that is the one disadvantage of ubiquity shape, which again, you know, I'm with Brent. Like, I love the ubiquity shape because at least when you do go to buy dongles, you are buying similar dongles. But I'm surprised at how many people, and I guess I, because of my my streaming community, I deal with a lot more neophytes than I used to, that don't understand the difference between the USB 3 ports, quote unquote, on their Mac versus the Thunderbolt 3 ports on their Mac. And, you know, a lot of people have gone out and they bought these, you know, docks or whatever, and they go, I bought a dock and I plug all my cameras and stuff in and it still runs out of power, or it's kind of glitchy or whatever. And I go, did you buy a USB, you know, C dock, or did you buy a Thunderbolt dock? And they go, well, it's USB-C. And I go, no, your Mac ports are Thunderbolt ports. Well, what's the difference? And I'm like, okay, display, there's speed difference, you know, there's a power delivery difference, there's display protocols, for instance, mini display port versus, you know, HDMI versus, you know, VGA and some of the other things that are supported over it. And I go, but the biggest one is probably speed. But the one that, you know, a lot of people are hanging up on is the power delivery. You know, like the power delivery is even different, like the amount of watts you can punch through. So I'm like, this is why your devices are complaining that they don't have enough juice, you know, because they say, well, I can't plug two capture cards into the same Mac. And I'm like, well, that's because you're using a USB hub. Mm-hmm. But if you put it in the Thunderbolt dock, like OWC or CalDigit or whatever, I'm going to be perfectly fine. And you're like, no, no, it says you can't. And I'll go, dude, I use three cameras in one machine all day long because they're connected to Thunderbolt.
Yeah.
You want to know something weird that you're not supposed to know?
What's that?
I have a machine that I'm not allowed to talk about, and it has USB-C ports. And it says, when you plug in my Thunderbolt dock, it says, this machine does not support Thunderbolt. I think you know what I'm talking about, mm-hmm. but it's really weird that the latest unreleased hardware from a company that
we know
revolves around USB or mm-hmm. around Thunderbolt mm-hmm. doesn't support Thunderbolt devices. I assume it's a prototype thing, but I'm not allowed to talk about it. Yeah. Forget I said anything.
Well, there's a story about that. Apple has actually confirmed that the new Apple Silicon
Max... You were supposed to say, Patrice.
Well, I don't know what he's talking about. I'm just talking about the story.
I have a random question for you. Yes.
Wait. Let Patrice finish, because I don't know this news. Tell me this.
So
I was going to give him a setup, but Patrice, okay, continue.
Jeff, go ahead. Give me the setup.
Patrice, randomly, do you have any idea about Thunderbolt support on Apple Silicon hardware?
Unrelated.
Completely unrelated.
Yeah, totally random question.
Yeah.
It's been keeping me up at night, and I thought if anyone would know anything about this, it wouldn't be Brett.
No.
You.
Yeah.
I love Jeff's wide-eyed wonder. Absolutely. I really do.
Yes, and funny enough, you're not the only one who has been thinking about that. A lot of people have, and Apple basically told everybody the other day that, yes, Thunderbolt will be supported on the new Apple Silicon Max with Thunderbolt 4. So it's kind of a coincidence that Intel just released the specs, and then Apple said, well, we're still going to support it.
So I have to buy another dock, though.
Well,
not for sale, not, sir.
Not technically, because the Thunderbolt 3 will still work with all Thunderbolt 4 ports. So
okay, I'm gonna take your word for it.
Yeah,
I'm gonna make some assumptions. I'll let it go.
Yeah, the only difference is Thunderbolt 4 will support will support docks with 4 ports instead of the 2 that Thunderbolt 3 supports. There is a requirement on the, like, more on the hardware side, I think Macs are already doing that, that they also support direct memory access protection, which is usually an Intel-based system, but Intel has already said that they're gonna basically support test and license other protections that are not based on the Intel VT-D system.
Now, you see, that's a smart move, because if you want to have Thunderbolt 4 get wide adoption, mm-hmm. you need to go the Netflix route, which is you need to make sure it can be everywhere.
Yeah. And they just started rolling it out to AMD as well. So I think that is not a coincidence that this is happening. Like, it's AMD can now get it, or AMD-based systems can now get it, and now Apple is basically saying, okay, like, we're moving away from Intel, but Thunderbolt still works.
Well, like Windrider said in the chat, that Thunderbolt, unlike, you know, processors are not licensed, Mm-hmm. And that's good, because there are a lot of PCs that, you know, say USB 3, but they lack Thunderbolt support. Like, when you go to look at some of the lower end, you know, machines, that you won't mm-hmm. see the lightning bolt next to the port, and it's like, you already were that close, why wouldn't you just add it, just for nothing more than the external drive support, you know, the speed of the external drive.
Yeah, it's usually a cost saving thing.
Yeah. Most definitely. Well, and again, like, that side of the coin is, I want to say, isn't very familiar with it, but they're less familiar with it. But, you know, a lot of those machines, especially the desktop builds, come with the NVMe PCI 4 drives. Mm-hmm. And again, we talked about this when I talked about my recommendation a couple weeks ago. The NVMe PCI 4 drives can do up to 5,000 megabits per second. Like, they're quick. Mm-hmm. But if you rock them on USB 3, it goes down to, like, what's in the internal Mac right now, to the 13s.
Yep.
But if you just change that case, instead of the $30 case, mm-hmm. you buy the $100 Thunderbolt 4 case, you'll actually get close to that full 5,000 megabytes per second as long as you can keep it cool.
Yeah, and I mean, Apple hasn't really helped with the confusion because they shipped Macs with just USB-C. Like, it wasn't just the iOS side, the iPad Pro especially. It was also, like, I think the MacBook Air that shipped with just USB-C.
You know, the physical
one I just
itself.
Got is all Thunderbolt.
Yeah, the new one is, but I think over the last couple of years, they have shipped devices that were just USB. I think it was specifically the MacBook Air and maybe the 12-inch MacBook.
The physical port itself, for the average user, is part of the problem here,
mm-hmm.
because there's no visual distinction between USB-C as USB 3.1 versus Thunderbolt.
Mm-hmm.
There is. Lightning
bolt. Well, when you look for the little silkscreen symbol.
Yeah. But it's hard to see, really, on especially on the really thin Macs. Like, barely you can see that.
It's a double-edged sword. I mean, there were definitely benefits to having the same connector, but mm-hmm. it also adds to a lot of confusion about what you're plugging into which port and therefore what performance you're getting.
Yeah.
I wish they pulled it off similar to super speed USB 3 versus regular, where they would color the port, right? Mm. But then you got cats like Lenovo that says, screw everybody, I'm going to make mine red. Which looks great on my notebook, right? I love it. It's perfectly inclined with the design. But I have completely had my partner at the Wish Shop roll up and go, hey, why is this USB port red? Isn't it supposed to be blue? And I go, yeah, it's the same thing. They just decided.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I mean, there are definitely advantages to having the same port or using the same port for both, because it means if you have Thunderbolt, you can still do USB 3 without doing anything. You just plug in a USB 3 device and that's it.
Yeah, you know what gets people in trouble? When you send a regular person to go buy a cable.
Yes.
Okay. And you say, okay, listen, in order for this hard drive to work at the speeds that you're going to need it to work for you to run your Final Cut or your Logic or whatever, you need to buy a Thunderbolt cable. Okay, no problem. All right, cool. Hey, man, this thing is still slow. Well, did you get a cable? Yeah, I ordered the one you got, but they had a cheaper one. It was $13. I'm like, yeah, because the Thunderbolt cable is $50 for a reason, you ding dong. Like, it's faster. Oh, it looked the same. All the ends were the same. It fits. I go, yeah, but you bought a USB cable, so it's not as fast. So you go back and buy what I told you to buy.
Yeah.
But I already spent $13.
You know? And it's hard because if you see them on Amazon, you see $50 cable or $59 cable versus $13 or $20, like whatever. Mm-hmm. Your brain goes, oh, they look exactly the same. Okay, I'll get this one.
Yeah.
And that's just like USB cables without sync support. Mm-hmm. Super ignorant. Like, why would you do that? Like, that's just mean. It doesn't cost that much difference. But it's the difference between an $8 cable and a $9 cable, and one is charge and sync, and one is just charge.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it gets worse once you have the cables at home, because even the cables Apple ships, not all of them are the same. Like, some of them are, like, for higher speed charging versus lower speed charging. Some of them are Thunderbolt. Some of them are USB 3. And without really looking at, like, the connector and the symbols on it, and sometimes even that doesn't tell you the full story, you wouldn't know.
My, like, Thunderbolt cable is a printed Thunderbolt on one side. So mm-hmm. that's how you get in trouble. Like, I've completely screwed up because I moved everything around and I connected back my Akatito, which is a Thunderbolt 3 to 10 gig Ethernet, because I set myself up with 10 gig Ethernet. And I was wondering why it was super slow. And it's because I had grab the wrong cable because mm-hmm. it printed upside down.
Yeah, I've had the issue with my CalDigit Thunderbolt dock. I used a different Thunderbolt cable, and I was kind of wondering why it wasn't charging with, like, the full 87 watts that it supports. And actually, the longer I found the original CalDigit cable, which was longer, and that one charges full speed, versus I think the other one is from OWC, which doesn't. Like, it's
And Thunderbolt, the trouble,
same cable, so it should be the same. They're not.
Well, and the other thing too is, you know, once you take it out of the package, mm-hmm. I mean, assuming it's packaged right, then you have, you almost by process of elimination, you have to start figuring, okay, what does this cable do?
Yeah.
You know, there's no way to even look at the cable, let alone the connector, but, and tell. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I feel like I almost want to put some kind of label on those cables as they come out of the box so I know what they are.
Brilliant idea, and I'm going to start doing that.
Mm-hmm. Me too.
Because I know I've had every one of the problems you guys have just talked about. And, you know, my solution usually ends up being go to Amazon and buy another cable that I know will do what I want and then try to put a label on it.
What I used to have down here, but it's all dried up now, is I bought various colors of nail polish, and then I just nail polish striped the end of mm-hmm. the cables so I know which is which. And then, you know, you can get the really bright fluorescent nail polish for super cheap around Halloween time.
Mm-hmm. And it didn't flake off, Doc?
It does, but you just put it back on. Normally the cables stay kind of put, but cables that you unplug a lot. My microphone, my XLR tips, I have them colored so that I can see from over there if I set the board back up, but I got like four people over here connected, I can see the end of the mic right away, which is the right one. Everyone used to use tape, but tape is so obnoxious and it's like you pay attention to it, whereas like if I'm the only one that really noticed that I wrapped the end of the XLR cable with polish, I can see it faster. Mm-hmm. You know, especially if there's a camera on stage.
Yeah. Another good idea.
That's a good idea, yeah. Apple has opened up the public betas for iOS, iPadOS, and tvOS 14 as of yesterday, I think. I mean, I know Brett and I have probably been running the developer betas for a couple of weeks now. This is like
the iPad is the truth.
Yeah. Definitely is. There are some things you should be aware of before you do that. Mainly on the macOS side, like if you install Big Sur, a couple of things might not work at all. Like updates for your existing, like if you install it in parallel, updates for your existing macOS installation if it's on the same hard drive.
This is one of the reasons why I do developer betas on an external drive.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, always.
Yeah, absolutely.
As a developer, if I were to break the install on the machine that I develop my software on, I'd be screwed.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. Exactly. Yeah, there have been multiple times over the years installing developer betas where something has broken for me in such a fundamental way that it's just easier to wipe the drive and start over. Mm-hmm. And since it's an external drive, who cares? I wipe the drive and start over. No yeah. big deal. But if it was my boot drive on my production machine, man, I would be straight up screwed.
Mm-hmm.
The funniest part is every year, people like us tell everyone, okay, if you're going to install this, make sure you A, back up your stuff really good. Make sure you B, run it on an external drive. And every year I have to do some recovery because somebody thought they were cute and mm-hmm. didn't do it because, well, it always works. And then it just eats something.
Yeah.
By the way, I blame Google for part of this because Google has been shipping beta software for years and years and years.
Yep.
Just as a general thing.
Yeah.
And so people
beta is a product.
Have... Yes. And so people are using something that they're told is beta as if it's a finished product.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that has bled over so that it's more difficult for other companies that do public betas to get people to understand this doesn't mean it's a finished product. And I've already seen comments on online articles about the public beta. So mm-hmm. yes, I did the thing I should never do, which is read the comments to an article where people are bagging on Apple because they installed the public beta on their Mac or their iPhone, their iPad, whatever. And they're saying things like, this feels rushed. I can't believe they released this already. Mm-hmm. This has problems. Stuff's not working. Things are crashing.
And, I can't believe they released a beta.
Yeah. 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 And they're not getting what beta means.
Mm-hmm. The look on Brett's face was hilarious just now.
I mean, that's pretty much the definition of a beta. That's why you release mm-hmm. I mean, actually, it's, you could argue that that's an alpha, but no one talks about alphas anymore.
Yeah.
It's a beta.
Rinrider brought up a good question about, can you put another APFS volume on the same on the same hard drive with the separate OS? And I would say the answer is yes, but I wouldn't do that because
I wouldn't do that. That is exactly what you cannot do.
I was going to say, I had a problem with that with non-beta, so I wouldn't do that.
No, in the release notes for Big Sur, for developers, Apple actually specifically mentions that because they changed the whole recovery partition layout and a couple of other things around. And that means for some reason that Catalina, if you have Catalina or anything before that, will not get any updates. So it technically runs, but then your like main install is screwed.
Yeah, I screwed that trying to install an extra Catalina to show something. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I was trying to show like the difference of setting your system up so that, for instance, if you're doing like, you know, streams like we are right now, I've got 5 guests on, plus, you know, I have my overlay software and stuff. I want to be able to play overlays and whatnot, where a lot of people were having problems on slower machines. Hey, go back to where I had you. And then so what I was explaining is that you can make a vanilla install, but not on the same drive. And so like a dummy, I tried to do it on the same drive. I screwed everything up. I had to nuke and pave the entire machine.
The same OS should work in theory.
No, it was having problems with basically the way the recovery partition works or whatever is and catching updates. It would confuse the updates.
So so definitely not recommended. Just get a cheap external hard drive and use that. Like, it doesn't have to be much. I think you need like 100 gigabytes or something, 120.
Yeah, I'm using a 500 gig SanDisk SSD.
Mm-hmm. Yep, SanDisk, way to go. But again, the main thing is watch your cables. you can get a cheap USB-C cable that doesn't operate at speed. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, exactly. Yep.
Yeah.
I have to correct myself. I said that Big Sur has been released. That is not yet the case. We're still waiting for that. But tvOS, iPadOS, and iOS 14 are available. And I know a couple of people have already installed it, like Jerome, for example.
You mean the betas?
The betas, yes.
Yeah, right, yeah. I want to make sure these people didn't hear that wrong.
No. The betas.
Yes. The betas, yes.
The betas.
We were talking about, too, the other person to blame, I guess it's still Google, is YouTube, because all of the quote-unquote beta testers who are not supposed to be posting this stuff immediately go, 10 great features about, you know, iOS 14 beta, and then they go and explain it. And yes, it might even be the same stuff that's released, but when Apple does the release, they're doing a precursory release. They just talk about the level. They don't dig into the deets.
Yeah.
And then all of the YouTube videos dig into the deets. And then when you see somebody playing with their home screen, having the smart flipper. See, I don't even use the right words. That's how cool I am. when you use the smart flipper, like, you're going to want it. Like, once you see it and you have it, you're going to want it. So when YouTuber X goes on and go, and because I'm cooler than you, I have this beta. No, dude, you paid $99. You know, and then they post that video. All of the other kids that are watching will want to post the same thing. Now, the public beta isn't out. So where do they get their betas from? They get it from the various corners of the web. And those have the back doors added to them, or the leak your information added to them or whatever. And next thing you know, mom and dad's credit card is jacked.
Well, or it simply breaks the device, and then they're screwed because they didn't know what they were doing.
The device you can rebuy. The credit card is in trouble because it's expensive.
Yeah. But depending on who that is, that might also be a problem. Like, if it's a kid and that's their only phone and they break it, then they have a problem.
Yeah. Last cycle, I had to help a friend un-F their thing because their kid downloaded a beta. From this, you know, watch the video on YouTube, And the guy says, oh, use my link down below to download the beta. Download the beta, installed it, got it put in. And then next thing you know, that device gave access to everything in the network.
Oh, ouch.
Yep. Exactly.
So glad your kid ain't come to my house.
And good luck trying to clean up that all the mess.
Trust me, it took me forever. Oh. It took me absolutely forever. Just trying to chase what was screwed up, you know. And it was in several computers and everything. So yeah, that's a big part of it. And Google doesn't care to make those videos disappear because they don't need to do Apple any favors. If anything, you're making them look better.
Yeah, makes them money as well. People watching it.
Oh, those videos get a lot of hits.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah, absolutely. I think, well, I don't think whether we have anything to talk about the iOS, iPadOS. I mean, anybody tried it? Any thoughts on it?
What, on 14?
iPadOS is gorgeous.
Yeah, 14, like 14, all the
We should 14. Talk about these clipboard notifications.
Oh, yes, we should.
Go ahead. So for anyone who doesn't know yet, as part of the new security features on iOS 14, it will notify you anytime an app accesses your clipboard and reads the information that you've copied into your clipboard, which like on my phone, I have several apps that I really want reading my clipboard. Like when I open deliveries, it detects that there's a UPS link on my clipboard and it automatically adds it. Pixelmator, if you have an image on your clipboard, it'll automatically open it. Like these are useful things, but all these reports coming in, over 50 apps now have been quote unquote busted kind of randomly or even frequently accessing the clipboard. I can't remember which service it was, Snapchat maybe.
Snapchat. Yes, you're right. Yeah.
Someone was using it to prevent spammy behavior, which I assume they were just looking for people that were copy pasting materials repeatedly.
Yeah.
But so maybe I could excuse that. But then all these other developers are saying, oh, that was an accident. That was a bug in our code.
LinkedIn.
Yeah.
Yeah.
How do you accidentally, that's an intentional move, accessing the clipboard. You don't accidentally do that.
Yeah.
I don't know how.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think what they mean is they accidentally got caught.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
There are social networks like TikTok, for example, on it. I just posted a list. I don't even know whether that is up to date, like that the stories from end of June. There are like a lot of news sites like CBS News, CBC News, Fox News, all of those. Some German and international publications. TikTok we mentioned.
Wasn't Reddit in there too?
At least it's not on the list, but as I said, this list might not be 100% complete.
It's crazy, why did they spy on the clipboard? I don't get it. I mean, the only thing that I clipboard that would probably get me in trouble would be password, but it's done through one password, so it dies relatively quickly.
Huh. Yeah, anything that's copied to the clipboard securely. Well, no, I mean, if you copy a password, it's still plain text.
Mm-hmm.
But in general, like there's nothing on my clipboard that I really care anyone accesses, but there's always the chance, like I would want to know that if I copy something, I'm not giving it away just by copying it.
Yeah.
That's crazy though. It can be used for tracking. I mean, a lot of times the clipboard is actually used for sharing something, like sharing a news article, sharing whatever photos. And you can do a lot of tracking with that, like just by knowing whatever, what websites you shared with your clipboard. So
for sure.
Is it the reason why they did that? I don't know. But it's definitely like it's iffy.
Well, and I think it also raises an interesting question for the clipboard managers that are out there, because it's something I never really thought about. But I'm copying to the clipboard, let's just say a credit card number, and then it's so theoretically it should be overwritten by the next thing I copy to the clipboard, except that I have clipboard managers running, so now. Is that information being stored in securely in my clipboard manager.
Well, that's the thing is with Alfred, right? If you Alfred connected with 1Password and the credit cards are in 1Password, it dies like within seconds, and you can actually adjust the amount of seconds, right? So I think mine's is probably like 9 seconds or whatever. Mm-hmm. But if I copy, you know, a password or a credit card info, and I go to the site and I paste it in, before I even get a chance to have to paste it in again because I screwed up, it was gone. You got to go back and get it again.
Yeah, you're talking Mac OS now, right?
Yeah, because
even iOS one disappears too.
Well, no, I mean, like, there's no Alfred or clipboard management on iOS.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah.
And I have to say, I'm less concerned about my clipboard on my Mac because my iOS devices are intrinsically mobile and therefore connected and cloud accessed. It might not be rational, but I'm definitely more concerned about my privacy on my mobile device than I am on my Mac. I feel like I have more control and more, everything's more local for me on my Mac.
Yeah. But what it shows you is there, like anybody can access your clipboard, like any app for whatever reason, and it can copy anything that's on there.
I wrote an app that watches your macOS clipboard, and anytime you copy a shortened link, like a tico link or a bit.ly URL, it expands it in your clipboard automatically, which I'd never published and absolutely didn't try to get on the Mac App Store. But yeah, I mean, it's easy to do. Mm-hmm. It's easy to modify the clipboard too, which has, you know, its own security.
Sure.
Yeah, I never even thought of that. But I used one like that for Markdown before, right? It was, I don't know, maybe you wrote it. You do the, you do /CL and it would basically turn links in the clipboard to Markdown links.
And so for text expander?
Yeah.
Yeah, I probably wrote that. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I was gonna say, I think that was you, now I think about it. I still use that to this day. I love that.
So forgive me if I'm missing it, but is there, other than some convenience, like Brett, what you were saying about, you know, something being on the clipboard for deliveries and having it automatically read by the UPS app, is there really a legitimate reason for an application to be accessing the clipboard behind the scenes without you saying, I want to give you this information?
To put information on the clipboard, sure. I don't... And this is not an area I'm super well versed in, as far as like what reasons there would be. Nothing comes to mind though that no legitimate reason for checking the clipboard without permission comes to mind.
I mean, without user action. Like, I mean, sure, the notification actually comes up when you hit when you just paste into an app as well.
Sure.
Yeah.
Which is fine. Like, I mean, that is like you pasted it, so you know what you're doing. Hopefully.
Right.
It always catches me off guard still, though, because I have not used to it yet.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, yeah, I did that.
And I'm not 100% sure. I mean, we don't know. This is beta. We don't know whether that is going to stick around or whether Apple is going to change that.
Well, because I think that notification, tells you what app you pasted from. So yes,
that is
good. If an app has man in the middle you, if something has modified your clipboard, you would get that notification and be like, wait, I didn't just copy anything from TikTok.
That's true. Yeah, that is true. That's probably why.
Mm-hmm. And I mean, this is a very simple example, but I think it's one that everybody can test out, that you can go and you can copy something to the clipboard and then open preview and you have the option to create a new document from the clipboard.
Yeah.
But again, you know, you're having to execute that specific command. It's not automatically creating something.
Right. Well, but it's still
that's
reading.
Kind of standard clipboard usage.
Well, but it's still reading the clipboard. Like what deliveries does. I mean, it's not creating a new entry for you, but it's saying, hey, we have detected a UPS number. Do you want to create one? So it's already read it.
It's not dissimilar from the smart URI stuff where it knows the information that's on there is in X style. So do you want to put it back in that style?
Mm-hmm.
And I guess it's in this access in the clipboard thing could be dangerous, because if you do stupid stuff like I did, as I set Alfred to convert clipboard automatically to plain text, because sometimes to me it's easier to fix it in plain text and then put it you know, wherever you want it to be, versus trying to unstrip whatever it decided to paste. So yeah, the concept of putting something important on a clipboard already stripped out the plain text, so anything can read it, which is the reason why you use plain text anyway. Thank you, Brett.
here's why you need a clipboard manager, and I don't know if Alfred can do it or not, but the on Mac OS and I assume on iOS, the clipboard actually has four different sections to it. It's got an URL clipboard, it's got an image clipboard, it's got a plain text clipboard, and it's got an RTF clipboard. So all four of those slots can be engaged at the same time. So when you copy something from Safari, you get a plain text version of it in the clipboard, but you also get the rich text version with all the links and everything. So if you go into text edit and you have it in plain text mode and you hit paste, it's going to paste the plain text version. But if you're in rich text mode, it'll paste the rich text version. So all you need to do is make sure your clipboard manager defaults to pasting the plain text version, but it won't actually, like a lot of these tricks that people use to convert to plain text means they paste out of the rich text buffer, convert it to plain text, and then push it back in, overwriting all the clipboard data. But you don't have to do that.
Mm-hmm. So wait a minute, Brad. Does that? I did not know that. And if I heard what I think you said, then that means that there are four potential pieces of information at any given moment in my clipboard buffer.
And they can be different. But I like if you copy a URL, you have the text of that URL, but you also have a special NSURL type that can then be treated. Like if you're in Shortcuts or Automator and you are creating a service that works on URLs, it's going to only pull from that URL style clipboard. And an app can actually put completely different things into each of those slots. So you can have image data and plain text data at the same time. And it would just depend on where you hit paste.
Where I'm going with that is... Sense,
Chuck? You know what makes sense, Chuck? Okay, so have a Gmail open, right? Or most mail apps, but I just use Gmail. And say you copy this exact article Patrice sent us, you know, where the word social and other and games is highlighted. So if you copy that and you paste it into Gmail, it's going to look exactly like that. But sometimes you don't want that because your Gmail is formatting. So if you do Command Shift Paste, it places it as plain text in Gmail. So in other words, Gmail, when you copied it the first time, it went rich text plain text. And depending on whether you Command Paste or Command Shift Paste, you get rich text or plain text in pretty much almost every app. Right. And, you know, like even the paste and match style type thing or whatever, I think that's what it's doing. You're keeping the style when you paste it. So that's the proof that it was placed into the clipboard in two separate formats.
But and you're right, Doc. And I get that. I guess where I'm going with it, though, is the security concern that I potentially have four different things sitting in that buffer, in those buffers, that some of these applications could be potentially reading. Not just one, not just, to your point, not just the credit card that came in through Alfred from 1Password and expires in a couple seconds, but so, you know, maybe multiple things.
In general, when you don't have a clipboard manager running, every time you copy, it's overwriting all four of those buffers. So if you've just copied a password, anything that was in your image buffer is now empty. Like all of that has to be populated by one copy command.
There's one trigger in, but there's several triggers out.
If you're running a clipboard manager, though, then each one of those clipboard entries can have all four of those.
Yeah, that's Paste does that.
Yeah, and that's where I'm starting to wonder about the clipboard managers, because I usually run two. I run Launch Bar and I can't think of the other one that's on the other machine. And I mean, I use them for different things, and they're super handy, but I'm wondering about, you know, do I need to pay just a little more attention to what I am copying and pasting that is going to those managers?
You know, it's good. One of my original clipboard managers that I could think of was Jump Cut. and it was 32-bit. And when we switched over, Karen was so mad because she's like, I like Jump Cut. I can't use it on this new machine. She was pissed for like a year. Maybe like 3 months ago, Jump Cut went back to 64-bit, so we're able to put it back. But that's one of the lowest, not lowest in low end, but lowest barrier to entry, very simple, but extremely well thought out clipboard is Jump Cut. And yeah, I think now that maybe because of 64-bit, it can handle more stuff and it might be a thing. So you just got to check, Chuck, which Launch Bar, I'm sure, acts like Alfred and then, you know, deletes things because they're very competitive like that. But other than that, I would just check to see if you can set expiration times on clipboards, because for instance, on Alfred, I have it set for 24 hours. Now I think about that, that's kind of ignorant. I should make it shorter.
I mean, this is really interesting, because and it's the kind of thing that you don't think about until you start to dig in and get somebody like Brett to that can talk about what's going on behind the scenes.
Yeah.
Wow.
You always learn something.
I'm opening my Alfred preferences right now just to see what I've got going on.
All right, this podcast and all the other podcasts on this network are supported by TSO Hosts, a really, really cool hosting company from the UK. They offer, like, almost an all-American panel today, like I'm in Austria, so it doesn't really fully count. But yeah, they're a really, really good company, UK-based, as I said. They offer, like, domain name services, they offer web hosting, they have, like, pre-built packages for WordPress and some other like content management systems. And then obviously they have servers. We have two of them, have had them for a couple of years. Zero issues, all the issues that we've ever had, like websites being down and all of that, all like made like by us, like mistakes that we made or like whatever certificates we didn't update or like other issues that we ran into, all created by us, not by TSO Host. So as I said, they've been rock solid. They gave us those two servers and all they want for it is brand recognition. So even if you're not in the market right now and you don't need anything or you already like whatever you got your services, then just head over to like to the social networks, to Twitter or Facebook, and yeah, mention them and tell them that you're really thankful that they support British Tech Network. And yeah, then that's all they want. And if you're in the market, if you need something, they have a great support as well. I should mention that. So if you have any questions about what they're offering and how to do it, and I don't know how to install WordPress, and like if you need any help with that, just reach out to their support. But you can also get 20% off everything they offer if you use the offer code BTN20. And as I said, we'll give you 20% off everything they have and everything you buy. And the other supporter, yeah, the other company supporting us today, and Callum is actually not here today. He's still busy repairing stuff. We had a customer come in just before the show, so just didn't make it. But Imant Max is a really, really good Mac repair, refurbished data recovery company. They not only repair iOS devices and Macs, and like, I mean, we've seen like a couple of weeks ago, they repaired an iPhone 8 that was, I would say, beyond repair. Like, I would have said, well, this is gone. Like, there was nothing left. They basically almost fully replaced it, like a couple of things they could keep. And it just looks like new. Like, I don't know how they did that, but it was pretty impressive. So no matter how broken your device is, they will at least give it a try. I think they had like recently one thing where they had to give up and simply say, well, I mean, this like there's simply nothing they could do that is like still doable or like would make sense on an economic like viewpoint as well. They have refurbished devices as well. If you like need a Mac or an iPad Pro or anything like that, they have a pretty nice refurbished store, and then, as I said, data recovery. Since we just talked about that, in the Slack room, anything that has a hard drive of some sort, whether it's a like an old school rotating thing or a new SSD or like even the newer like M2 based chips, they will do data recovery on. Like, it doesn't have to be a Mac, just has to have some sort of storage that they can access. And they will help you with that. And if you mention BTN, then they will give you 5% off as well. So head over to imandmax.com and yeah, check out all their really cool services. Time for a cool thing. Brett, maybe start us off.
Getting one of my own things today.
Nice.
Have you guys heard of Hook? Do you know Hook?
No.
Yeah, it's a movie from Disney.
No, that's, no.
Different.
No, it's a productivity app from Luke P. Bedwine and cognitive apps, CogSci. It lets you take any two files or OmniFocus tasks or web pages and create hooks between them. So when you pop up Hook on something that you've hooked other things to, so you have like one central file for your project, and then you can hook things from all over your digital life to that, and then pop up Hook on it and jump between and navigate between all of those items.
Mm-hmm. It's cool. Sort of like it's Zapier for your Mac.
Kind of, with less, you know, automation. It's more mm-hmm. about just creating those links. Mm-hmm. It's hard to explain, but once you try it, you'll see the potential in it. This week I created a command line interface for it because I spend probably more time on the command line than I do in apps. So I made a way to create and list and navigate hooks directly from the terminal. And you can find that on my blog. I'm not in the chat right now. But I just posted a link to it on brettterpstra.com. If you wanted to, if first you'd have to check out Hook before this is actually a cool thing for you. And then you'd have to be into the terminal. So this is, I think there may be one person that this is actually going to be a cool thing for. It might be me, but that's what I'm doing. That's my pick for the day.
Okay, and Jeff just posted the link in the chat room for everybody to see. If you want to find those links, head over to britishtechnetwork.com/chat, then navigate to the 10th of July 2020, and around, well, we started around 4 p.m. UK time, whatever time zone that is on your side, and you will find all the links, everything we posted. Chuck, what's your cool thing?
Okay, this is going to be just, it may sound a little self-serving, but so be it. But the Macworld All-Star Band got together and put together a music video, which is absolutely amazing. And I love this. If you went to Macworlds and you were lucky enough to get invited to these parties, it's a bunch of people that you know. Chris Breen, Bob Levitis, Paul Kent, Dwayne Straub, Dave Hamilton, Chuck Latornos, Brian Chaffin. Were members of the Macworld All-Star Band. They played once a year only at these parties. And during lockdown, they put together this amazing video with the help of Wally Cherwinski. Dave Hamilton and his daughter Skylar did the audio mixing. Wally put the video together, and it is a whole lot of fun. And so I'm putting the link to their website in so you can go and watch and listen to it. And the self-serving part is that I was lucky enough to get some of the members and Wally together on Mac Voices Live. The first version is out, has already been posted. It's on my website at macvoices.com. The second part goes out today as we record this afternoon. And it was just it was a great conversation with a lot of interesting people talking about how this was put together, both the audio and the video. And so if you're watching music videos during lockdown, or for that matter, anytime, and you think that, gee, it's just a matter of them setting up a couple cameras, plugging in and playing, you're going to learn a whole lot. Dave talks a lot about how they did it, what they did. Wally talks about the challenges of gathering up all the videos, syncing up, how to produce it. It is so well done that I can't stress enough. And on top of that, it sounds really good. So if you like hearing a cover of Feeling All Right, this is going to be a lot of fun for you. But it's definitely going to be a lot of fun just to see all these guys in a role that you may not be familiar with them in.
I definitely always enjoyed the Macworld All-Star Band. Like, I only got to experience them once, but like, I always watched their stuff.
I enjoyed those parties, the ones that I can remember, because normally what happened is I ended up in the corner at the bar drinking. And yeah.
Yes, you do.
Times.
Yeah, definitely. But this won't cost you anything, and you can get to experience it. And then you can also visit Wally's YouTube page for some of the videos he put together from those parties.
Mm-hmm. Nice. Jeff, what's your cool thing?
My cool thing is SetApp, but stick with me here, even though this isn't new. They've added a new feature that is in beta testing right now that won't screw up anything that you actually are doing. If you enable the beta feature, they have added SetApp for iOS. So if you go into your SetApp settings, you can turn on beta support, and then that will let you start getting at SetApp apps for your iPhone and iPad. So SetApp is now expanding out to iOS. Right now there's like only four or five applications that are available for iOS, but keep in mind, this is brand new, this is beta, and more apps will be added as they work through whatever kinks they come up with in the system. So the way it works is you get a code that you scan, and then that will get you the app from Apple's App Store. And then it gives you another code that you scan, and then that unlocks all of the app's features via SetApp. So there's no side loading, there's no provisioning files happening. It's pretty slick, and so SetApp is expanding out to iOS.
It's very interesting that they can do that, like that Apple is allowing that.
Yes.
Well, okay. I mean, they know what they're doing.
And one thing about SetApp too, you know, Jeff, you said there are only a few apps, and I don't know what those are, but one thing SetApp has been very good about is not cluttering up their service with a lot of third-party no-name apps just for the sake of being able to say we have, you know, 400 apps. They curate things pretty darn well, and so that you have, you're talking about high-quality apps here from reputable developers. So, That is great news. Oh boy.
Yeah, I have to get, I have to try that.
I said except Brett because they let Mark on there.
Hey, Mark is on there?
Yep.
That's what I said. Reputable developers except Brett. I was joking. Oh.
See, it should be reputable developers and Brett.
Oh, okay. There you go. That's better.
Okay. You can take that however you want then. Doc, what's your cool thing?
Okay, first of all, I had to piggyback on Chuck real quick because being in my Ecamm community, like in that community, because I have a long-term video experience, I get to be sort of the Brett of that community. So I have, you know, lots of people coming in, and they've grown. So when I joined in, it was like 1,700 people. We're up to about 10,000 now. And two people that I found in my Ecamm community, which is pretty hilarious to me, one of them is Mike Rose. He shows up. He's trying to figure out how to do, you know, streaming setups, I guess, for his work or whatever. But the other one is Victor Cajial. And so what Victor does is he live streams his saxophone sessions on Sunday, and they're freaking epic, right? First of all, I miss Victor. I haven't seen him since, you know, Macworld or whatever. And so he jams out with his saxophone, and he's still his same jovial, hilarious Victor self. And he just plays like the most awesome tunes. And I'm like, I'm chilling in my house, getting work done, listening to Victor play saxophone to me on Sunday. So I post, for those of you who are Facebook inclined, I posted a link in the chat. You can listen to the last Victor section. He normally goes on, I want to say roughly like 1 o'clock my time. So I don't know what that equals to Victor time. But it, I mean, yeah, it's pretty cool. Anyway, my actual pick is I posted in the chat, there's something known as NDI tools. NDI is a network digital interface that basically allows you to send video to another device on the same network with relatively low latency. Now, where this comes into hand, when you're doing a show like we're doing here on Zoom, one of the problems I have, because I don't use my built-in camera, I'm using a DSLR, oh, sorry, a mirrorless. And what happens is the mirrorless is here, the iPad, iMac is here. So half of the conversation I'm doing this because I'm looking at Chuck or Brett or whoever I'm talking to. Mm-hmm. But that gets to be a little crazy. So what you can do with NDI monitor is basically take whatever video feed your iMac is creating and send it to an iPad or an iPhone. So that allows me to put my image here. I'm only doing it half sideways. If I go all the way, it should start to repeat. You know what I mean? You see what I'm saying? Yeah. So if that happened to have, you know, like Brett or whomever on the image instead of myself, it wouldn't do the repeat. So then what that allows you to do is to, using iPad stand or whatever, place it directly underneath the camera so you're looking more at the person you're talking to. And if you put your device this way and get yourself a piece of clear glass and put it at a 45 degree angle, and however you want to rig those two together, you can actually shoot through the glass to yourself, and then you can look at the person when you're talking to them, and mm-hmm. you'll actually see them because they'll show up in your quote unquote teleprompter that you're not prompting. You're just using it for a way to talk to the person you're talking to, as opposed to always be cockeyed. And in most two-head Skype interviews, when you watch people talk to each other, they're cockeyed unless the other person has been well-trained enough to pay attention and stare at the lens and not, you know, or you just keep doing this, you know? Mm-hmm. So NDI tools really helps you do that. The other thing is good for if your camera has to be far and you just want to make sure it's connected. Say you're sitting at the lectern or the pulpit or whatever, and you want to be able to like see what your camera is seeing, you can mm-hmm. see what your camera is seeing. So if I bring up one of my overlays or whatever, I actually see that here because it's being sent over, and it's a little faster and less buggy than sidecar, which is great for the iPad, but you don't have sidecar for an iPhone or whatever. So mm-hmm. NDI tools really, really helpful.
Yeah, that is pretty cool.
You can also, sorry, one more thing, you can also use NDI camera that's in iOS to make your iPhone be a wireless camera back to your desktop. So if you're doing a Skype oriented thing where I want to be able to show somebody something that's on the camera and you want to, you know, click your extra camera link, you would be able to do that because your iPhone could be the B camera or the above camera mm-hmm. and you have it turned on. And then Skype or whichever you're using, because Skype has NDI support too, you can switch cameras and be able to pull the second camera with no wire.
That's pretty cool. I have to try that.
There you go.
My cool thing today is something that, well, I've watched before. I decided today I'm going to go with like a TV show theme for both shows. It's Avatar, The Last Airbender. It has been around for, I want to say, 10, 12 years, something like that. A little bit longer, actually, 15 years. It is a really good show. I've watched it. I didn't watch it until last year. I watched it with my family, who are massive Avatar fans. And I'm usually not into like animated stuff, but this is seriously good. It's like really awesome writing. It's like the artwork, like the it's like just really beautiful, really well made. It's like the music, it's just everything works perfectly together. And the good thing is, I mean, I bought it on iTunes because I wanted to have it there. But you can literally go to Netflix right now and you can watch it. It has 66 episodes. All of them are themed. It's like one story. There's no second season or whatever, like second season of the story. There's basically one continuous story over those 66 episodes. And the ending I remember is really, really good. I said, I'm going through that once again. Avatar, The Last Airbender, like highly recommended. It's probably one of my top, like whatever, top 10 shows ever.
And, it's important for people to remember, you're talking about the animated series, not the movie.
Yes.
The movie is hot garbage.
Exactly. No, it is absolutely garbage. No. It has I have
to say, Patrice, I took one of your past recommendations, Future Man. Mm-hmm. I don't think I've ever seen a stranger show.
Absolutely.
Oh, my God. I love Future Man.
So crazy. Yes.
I wouldn't even begin to know how to describe it. So
wait. But Chuck, did you hear that? Okay, so you said Patrice, and then Brett chimed in. It's his favorite show. So the two strangest people on here, if Jeff had added to that, I would just not watch it.
Why are you being so mean to me today?
I'm joking. I'm
hurt you.
Joking. I don't have Hulu. Sorry. So I couldn't give you the setup.
Absolutely joking. I actually liked it. I thought it was good, too. So yeah. I'm just teasing. Yeah. It was just funny that Chuck said that.
But, but Chuck, you're absolutely right. It is probably like in its own, like an entire category of shows. Like there's nothing else like this.
And only because you recommended it did I watch it. And afterwards, it's like, I wouldn't even begin to tell anybody about this because I don't know what to tell them.
Yeah, how to talk about it.
They're gonna think differently of you. The one that disappointed me was Space Force. That's hot garbage.
Man, I got so 15 excited. Minutes into the first episode of that and turned it off.
Oh my God.
I watched it.
I was so excited. I was like, this is going to be great. Yeah. I was like, what am I watching?
I enjoyed it, but it's definitely not like a really great show. Like it's more like a turn your brain off and just like have a laugh kind of show.
Like what's those movies? Airplane or Police Academy?
Yeah. No, I mean, those are way better than Space Force.
Yeah.
Way better. Yeah.
That's funny.
All right. Gentlemen, thank you so much for being here. Brett, let the good people know where they can find you.
Oh, brettterpstra.com and ttscoff on every social media service.
And very soon you will have like your awesome apps out there. Well, you already
NVUltra.com. It's live now. You just can't download anything yet.
Oh, well, okay. I'll bookmark that so I have it for later. Jeff, how about you? Where can people find you? Oh, Jeff, sorry.
Excuse me. For a minute there, I looked so much better than I normally do. I'm easy to find. I'm Jay Gamet on Twitter and Instagram, and I'm on all the shows. I get around, and I am getting very close to launching my new podcast.
Ooh, another teaser today?
Another teaser is I am actually having issues coming up with the right graphic for a logo.
Hmm, okay. Maybe you should ask your raccoon friends whether they can help out.
You know, they're going to be my new design team.
Oh.
So I'll have a meeting with them this afternoon.
I think we got a show title.
I think you've got it, man. Just a raccoon paw as your icon. That's it.
Yeah. Raccoon design team.
Mm-hmm. Jeff's raccoon design team.
I like it.
Chuck, how about you? And sorry, I wanted to say Chuck, and I highlighted your video, and then I said Jeff. Like,
that's all right. If Jeff thought he looked better than he does, he needs his glasses changed. You can find me over at MacVoices.com. That's where we talk to lots of interesting people, including the Macworld All-Star Band. Come on over. Love to have you. Thanks for having me.
Thank you, Chuck. And last but by no means least, the man on the other side of the world, for me, from my perspective at least, Doc, where can people find all your awesome work?
Oh, I'm trying to see if I can get supplemented as Jeff's avatar. just to throw people off for a little bit. You can find me all over the interwebs at DOCROCK, doing a lot of crazy things on YouTube to enhance people's work through streaming. And I think I just decided that this week I am going to have a new cover band name, and it's going to be NV Ultra. And it's my Las Vegas cover band.
It's not a play on MK Ultra as much as you want it to be.
It's not?
No. It's a plan. NV Alt to NV Ultra.
Yeah.
Yes. It just had the perhaps unfortunate coincidence of sounding a lot like MK Ultra.
Hey, I really, really miss notational velocity. That was like my favorite thing. Then I don't know why I lazily started using notes because of iOS, but nah, I hate the way it syncs sometimes.
Yeah, that's the whole problem. Yeah, you can find me, everything I do, you can find on thepatrice.com. I also have a really cool podcast called Foodie Flashback, where we talk about food and food-related memories. And I've released some really, really cool episodes. At some point, I have to have Brett as well on. Really interested to see what his like Minnesota food influences are. So we'll have to set that up. And I mean, since he's not drinking whiskey anymore, we'll have to talk about food, right? Yeah. So yeah. And if you want to be on that show as well, then just reach out to me if you have a story to tell, or if you just want to talk about food for an hour. Like, very easy. Like, people have told me, oh, I don't know what to talk about. We're going to be done in 5 minutes. And then we talked about like an hour and 15 minutes or so.
Have you ever had lutefisk?
I have not.
The worst. We're not going to talk about Minnesota food. It's pasty white fish that's been drained of all flavor.
Yeah, that's right.
It's horrible.
Isn't it like the Swedish can thing?
Yes.
It was designed to get fish across the ocean on long journeys, and basically fish that won't spoil, but in the process it's like lye. I don't even know what they treat it with. It's
not,
horrible.
Yeah, it's not fish anymore. Basically. Yeah. You can find all the episodes, all the shows on thebridgetechnetwork.com. The big show, the Mac show, the news show, the photo show. I might be forgetting one. Maybe we'll have a Windows show at some point. I don't know. We'll see. Maybe. At least I've heard that someone was working on that. Yeah, and please make sure to support the news show, especially. Kyle is doing that every weekday in the morning, UK time at least. He releases like the daily news, really good. And the only reason why we can do that is because we have the support of you listeners. And the last announcement, there will be a bash. Ewan told me about that. It's definitely going to be a more social distanced, smaller thing in the UK. I think most of us will not be able to attend since we can't either leave the US or I can't travel to the UK either. But if you're in the UK and you want to be like, you want to join the bash, highly recommended. I've been there a couple of times. It is really awesome. Even if it's smaller, it's going to be at home at Ewan's. Then just, yeah, go reach out to Ewan or head over to the website where you can find all the information. And yeah, thank you so much. Thanks, guys, for being here. Thanks for listening. Talk to you next time.